You know, Ryan.
Yeah.
This show?
Yeah.
It's something special.
You said that before.
I said that last episode, but I... Whoa. You killed my vibe.
Sorry. I didn't mean to just like really mash up your vibes there. That was involuntary.
And much like the first episode.
Right.
This started off the darkest yet.
It did get pretty dark.
It was so, like, literally in the truck, it was so dark. I could not see his face.
Welcome to the HBO Boys podcast, Outer Range. We're going to be talking about season one, episodes 3 and 4. Now you might be asking yourself, Ryan, why is your voice insane?
Jesus Christ. It wasn't that bad.
Why is your voice out of control weird? Why are you coughing and not editing that out? And I'll tell you, I didn't edit that first one out, but I will be editing out some in the future, just not all of them, to let you know what I'm going through for you.
Oh, man. He's pushing hard.
Well, I have the COVID. Oh,
awful.
I got that COVID, so.
Oh, he's on that vid grind.
Yeah, and I don't have access to, like, ivermectin, so there is no help for me. I can't put any horse medicine in my butt, so.
It'll be fine. What, at first it was 14 days, then it was 7, then it was 5, now it's like 3.
Yeah, no, I feel much better. Just to like, yeah, let everyone know, I feel much better than I did 2 days ago, but I still sound insane, which is, you know, one of the last repercussions of a COVID disaster that brought upon my shoulders and also heavily going to affect a podcast.
We'll see how it goes. It seems like you've cleared your throat enough, and it's fine now.
Yeah, it will get worse over time.
It was that first line.
Right.
I wanted to scratch my own throat.
I hated it. I was in the middle of it, like, you should stop and redo this, and I was like, push through it. Nah, push through. Anyway, that's Adam. I'm Ryan. We are again discussing Outer Range, episodes 3, The Time, and episode 4, The Loss.
Lost time. Get it?
No, I don't get it.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So while I sip this ginger ale, because I want to also, you know, it's fun. I took an acetaminophen about like 20 minutes ago. So my body's like, you know what you should do now? Sweat off this fever.
Just real hot all of a sudden.
Feel real sweaty and real hot. What did you feel about these two episodes of Josh Brolin-esque television?
Yeah, so without spoiling anything because of, you know, new format.
Okay, at some point we have to stop talking about the format. But yes,
I know, but it's there. So.
It is. You're not wrong.
I like it. It's building, you know. When I first read reviews of this show, obviously the critics got to see the whole series first. And one of their complaints was that it was a little drawn out, you know, a couple of midway episodes. I think there's a little truth to that to some degree, but the story for me is compelling enough that I'm going to keep watching, and it feels like a safe space show. Like when I was watching it, I was like, oh, I like sitting here watching this show, being in this environment, you know, following the stories of these characters. Like you get that feeling when you watch a show. I got that feeling with these two episodes. I still have it. But, you know, there's good parts. There's bad parts. There's things that could have done better. But in the first podcast we did, I said, I don't care about the side stories. I don't care. I just want to see Josh Brolin in Wholeville.
And when we say side stories, basically anything having to do with Rhett.
Yes, but these episodes made me be more interested in it because it's affecting his trajectory in the story. Like this girl comes in. I can't remember her name. You're probably going to say it later.
Maria.
She comes in and helps him with something. And all of a sudden, I am now more invested in their relationship than I was when I thought that she was just going to be some random chick that came home for the summer kind of thing. I think it's getting better. It's getting into a space that feels a little bit more familiar, if that makes sense. Because there's a lot of unknown with what's going on with the main storyline. But it... I like the interjections of these side stories as the supernatural stuff is progressing, if that makes any sense at all.
No, yeah, it does. My current feelings on this show is I agree to some extent with the negative reviews that say that the pacing is odd, because it is.
It is a little odd, yeah.
But at the same time, this show takes swings. I would say there was at least one big one in 3 and another huge one in 4.
Oh, yeah.
That I think are commendable and are interesting and are slightly jaw-dropping to a degree. And when at the same time I've been watching other shows that just don't do that kind of thing anymore, they are risk averse and don't want to largely affect you because it feels like perhaps they'll alienate part of their audience. They are not in those moments alienating me.
Right.
And every time they do something like that, I'm 100% more in. And it's the other times where it is just par for the course and we're 30 minutes in and nothing really has happened yet that I'm obviously just getting bored. And it's entertainment fatigue, right? I mean, I don't need everything to be an M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong twist at the end. But what I do need, is for plot points and like the story to go in a direction that makes narrative sense, but also do so on a constant enough basis where it's switching up and not boring the fuck out of me.
And there's more people coming in. Like, obviously, first two episodes, we met the new sheriff in waiting, I guess you want to call it, woman running for sheriff.
Right.
She has a very large part in these two episodes. And I can't tell if I like her character or if I dislike her character.
I think I'm on the side of liking her. Her character is in a very tough spot.
It is. And I think she's doing the best she can do from it, like if she was thrown in these positions. But being a fan of like the Abbott family in general, because they're like the wholesome, you know, lifelong generational family, when they start getting poked around by this sheriff for doing bad stuff, well, I like her a little less. But then when I think about it,
I don't know, man,
I'd be doing the same thing.
The end of episode 4, you're like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
These Abbotts are a little shifty.
Yeah, a little shifty.
Listen, we had a discussion last time.
Still like them.
Of course. Autumn, shifty. Wayne, shifty.
Shifty, bro.
And at the end of episode 4, Royal's a bit shifted, too.
Everyone's a little shifty.
Everyone is. And you know what I would also say? Actually, my favorite additional character in these two episodes is Patricia, the matriarch of the Tillerson clan.
Oh, yeah.
I like her so much. She's just coming in like, okay, fuck all this. You guys are doing a terrible job. Wayne, you're batshit insane. I can't wait till you die. And also, by the way, I figured out who killed my son almost instantly by doing a like ballsy as fuck move at the funeral by opening the casket and being like, who hates this?
I was like, what? And then she immediately was just like, it was Perry.
Yeah. Like,
all right. Okay, Ma.
Cool, Mom.
Back on your helicopter. You.
Cool, Mom. Thanks. Thanks for coming back from Aspen, Sherlock Mom.
Yeah, Sherlock Mom.
Anyway, once we come back from the advertisement, we will get into the plot of these two episodes. And that is right now. Bye. Outer Range, Episode 3. The Time. Joy, at the beginning of this episode, arrests a criminal who is trying to steal shit from a local gas station.
That was a great scene.
While she is driving away with said criminal in the back of her police car, said criminal warns her of other missing townspeople, says that his cousin disappeared. So, is the West Pasture Hole to Holeville the only hole?
See, I don't know.
Are there other holes?
I assumed other pieces of information come to light later on in either this episode or the fourth episode that suggests there are other portals in other places, but is it random?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or is it structured?
The question for me is, are there more than one hole, or is there more than one way for disappearing people to occur?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, we'll get to it, but the mountain that just happened, you know?
Yes.
So I suppose that could just happen to people too, where they just kind of peace out. I mean, he even said it. The guy even said it, you know, whoever, his friend or whatever, disappeared for 6 seconds right in front of me. He disappeared and then he reappeared in 6 seconds. He was gone and then he came back. Almost like he got snapped.
Just like the mountain.
Yes.
While out shopping, Cecilia sees Rebecca driving a truck and just dismisses it because how can that be true?
I was like, this is very much like, I thought, oh, this is going to be Marvel where they just come back to where they originally were. And she just is driving and has no idea what's going on. I think she's just going to walk in the house randomly. Hey, I'm back from freaking grocery shopping.
I'm going to go feed the cows. You can't. Right?
You've been gone for 9 months.
Yeah. So do we think that was really Rebecca who was hiding or came back through a hole recently? Like, was that truly Rebecca? Is it some disappeared, the not disappeared shit? Or did Cecilia just like kind of see some shit?
I don't think that it's her seeing something. I think she is the most even-tempered one so far, I think, in this whole family. Like, Royal is dealing with his whole deal. Perry is dealing with the loss of his wife. Rhett is dealing with being, you know, an accessory to murder.
Sure.
And like all this stuff. But she is kind of the strength of the family, it seems like. So I don't know if it's her seeing something because she's going a little nutty. I think that could very well really be her. And that's just we'll see it later on, you know, like she saw it in passing and then it doesn't come. Nothing will come to light till later on.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting because like you wouldn't be driving through the middle of town if you were trying to hide.
I wonder if she's on like a different timeline.
Yeah, if timelines are overlapped or something.
Right, it's like a different version where she never was part of the Abbott family because she married into the Abbott family.
It's true.
Honestly, there's no like definite thing that's happening in this show, which I kind of like. It's a little toss-up.
Joy confronts Rhett that night at a rodeo and states that Rhett's blood was found on Trevor's belt buckle. Later, celebrating his performance, Rhett is arrested for pissing on a cop car. Genius-level maneuvers.
That was a great scene, too.
They haven't found his knuckle blood in the bar as of yet.
Oh, that's right on the table, yeah.
But yes, Rhett gets himself arrested, and while detained, Joy interrogates him, and Rhett admits that he got into a fight with Trevor, but denies anyone else was there. Royal picks up Rhett from the police station, and while doing so, nabs the belt buckle from Joy's desk, because he's a little bit shifty.
They're all a little shifty.
Royal confronts Autumn and states he believes that he traveled through time in the hole. He instructs her to keep silent in exchange for his knowledge. So, yeah, they have a conversation and she's like, okay, well, what happened? Where did you go? And he was like, I don't want to talk about it, but also probably through time.
Right. You went through time, Roll.
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 Simultaneously, Royal and Joy and many other residents in Wabang notice a mountain briefly disappear. This happens right when Autumn and Royal shake hands. This is the second time they've shaken hands, by the way.
Yeah, is this a coincidence?
I wonder if anything happened like this the first time that they shook hands.
Right, and we just didn't see it.
And when
right.
she came onto the pasture for the first time, and we just didn't see.
But this time, wasn't she holding the necklace when she shook Royal's hand this time?
Yeah, it could have been about a rock.
I think it's something with them floaty black orb rock things.
Yeah, those things are weird, man.
Yeah.
While out hiking, Amy discovers Trevor's corpse in the wilderness, and Royal's like, oh, fuck, and calls Joy and tells her, you know, we found Trevor, and he's in the woods. This is a real bummer for me, because last time I saw, I threw Trevor's corpse in a hole, down to Holeville, and now it's back? What the heck?
I wonder if the hole is deciding when to put these items. Like, so when Royal went through the hole, he was transported into the future 2+ years. Trevor went in the hole and he gets dropped on the outskirts of the Abbott Ranch, supposedly only 10 hours after he did it, supposedly.
10 hours after he is pronounced dead. But right. He actually died 8 days ago. So I think some obvious time travel-y bullshit has occurred.
Right. So I wonder if the hole is truly sentient and can think and just places things depending on what people need or want to see.
I like that idea. I like that the hole is just messing with people.
Yeah, I'm going to fuck your life up.
Okay, now just spit that dead body back over there. That'll be funny. Yeah. Episode 4, The Loss. Months ago, laborers on the Tillerson farm discover a strange rock near the Abbott West pasture, starting Wayne's obsession with acquiring the land. This rock must remind him of something from his past, perhaps his childhood, along with Royal Abbott. We also thought, hey, was there like a note attached to this rock? Was he in cahoots with perhaps a Holeville version of Wayne? And this would suggest that he is not, and he is just going after what he believes this rock to be and wants it and knows where it is, which is the west pasture of the Abbott Ranch. So he's trying to get that land. And we just don't understand fully yet, because we haven't seen all the flashbacks from Wayne and Royal's childhoods as to what these rocks actually do and what they mean.
But that's definitely a shard, right? Autumn's rock is definitely a shard of Wayne's rock, right?
I would have to assume so. That'd be weird.
It's gotta be. It's the
same. It'd be weird if there were two different kinds of magic rock.
Right. And when he speaks to his worker guy, the Spanish guy, he says, if you find any more, you bring them to me. So he either knows there's more or he wants to get more because he's dancing around with that rock, literally dancing around.
Yeah. Then he was mean to that man. And I don't like Wayne. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah, he's kind of an asshole. The Clamato drinking bastard.
He's so weird. Then Joy and the Wabang police, along with Royal, hike to where Trevor's corpse was found and recover the body. Joy interrogates Amy with Royal, Cecilia, and Perry present, and Amy's testimony clears everyone but Rhett because he's not there.
Yeah, that scene gave me anxiety a little bit.
Yeah, it was like all of the family looking at Amy like, don't you fuck this up.
You fucking say anything, you piece of shit.
Joy has her deputy attempt to intercept and interrogate Rhett before his family can alert him to the fact that the body was found. But Rhett is unexpectedly covered by Maria, a bank teller that he has been seeing, obviously, for the past 3 episodes. And Maria, out of left field, winning the goddamn MVP.
This is the point where, when I said in the beginning, I started to care about the secondary stories. Because she came in, and I thought she was just going to be a throwaway character. But she ended up providing a very, very clutch service to Rhett in that moment. Although it did get a little unraveled later on, in that moment, I was like, oh, shit. She's here to play.
Yes, her instinct was to help Rhett, was to be on Rhett's side, even in something that has to do with the police. Like, she doesn't owe anything to Rhett, but she still wants to be helpful, which is pretty cool. But yeah, like, as you said, it gets more serious later, and she's like, okay.
She likes the bad boys until she gets arrested.
Yeah, yeah.
Until she gets questioned.
Right, fuck that. Royal meets with and then threatens Carl, the county assessor who has been bribed by Wayne to recognize the Tillerson's land claim to the Abbott's West pasture. But Carl only moves the impending hearing up in response because he, quote, does not like being intimidated. And what he's referring to is with Royal like grabbing onto his shirt, pulling him in real close and saying something to the effect of, I'm going to put you in a hole, Carl. And there are no Fritos in that hole, Carl.
That was the winning line of the show so far.
Yep. That's the best
one. Fritos in that hole, Carl.
Thank Christ Josh Brolin had to say that line. Fritos in that hole, Carl.
Had a little bit of Rick Grimes vibe in there.
Yeah.
Carl.
Carl.
Stay in the house, Carl.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad Carl is dead in The Walking Dead.
He never stayed in the house.
Never stayed in the house, and now
Stupid.
He's dead.
He's dead.
I stopped watching The Walking Dead so long ago.
After season like 5, it sucked.
But I'll tell you this right now, I did keep checking in on whether Carl was dead or not because I wanted him to be. There is no character on television I wanted dead more than Carl.
Carl.
And
when he got his eyes stabbed out, I was like, yes!
That'd be cool, yeah. Well, he is officially dead now, which is pretty sweet.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Spoiler alert, by the way.
I don't care if I'm spoiling Walking Dead for you. Joy interrogates Maria and then Rhett and Perry separately, and their alibis begin to break down before they are rescued by Royal and the fucking lawyer. Hey, if you're being interrogated by the police, no matter whether you think you did something right and or wrong, you want a lawyer. Don't do the thing where you answer questions without a lawyer, you dumb dummies.
Yeah, dumb.
Patricia, the matriarch of the Tillerson clan, arrives in town, quickly taking control of the household from Wayne, who, as I mentioned earlier, she's like, can't wait till you're dead. Okay, bye. Joy and Patricia narrow down their focus to Rhett and Perry, but the autopsy report on Trevor confirms that the time of death was only 10 hours prior to the corpse's discovery, despite the bar fight and the subsequent disappearance happening 8 days ago. As I said earlier, some time travel-y bullshit. God, I'm sweating so fucking hard. Okay.
So you're getting real into the show, huh?
No, I'm sick.
Or you're getting real into the show.
Yeah, I could be either. Real toss-up. At the funeral, Patricia opens the casket and deduces that Trevor's murderer was Perry when she observes him unable to look at the body, which was some queen shit. Loved it.
That scene was very aggressive.
Very.
It was so aggressive. But first, before you get into that, we need to talk about the karaoke brother.
Oh my God. Yes.
He sang multiple times and he's not half bad, but the funeral song.
Yeah, so that
I don't know why I was laughing during it.
That is Noah Reed as Billy Tillerson, the brother who sings every time he gets a chance to. Noah Reed, to me, most known for playing Patrick Brewer on Schitt's Creek, the eventual lover of David. And that is his, for me, breakout role. Amazing on Schitt's Creek. But yes, in this show, he's basically just playing a man who is constantly singing, especially sometimes in moments where I don't think he should be singing.
Yeah. Like the funeral.
I mean, somebody handed him that microphone.
That's true. Someone agreed and they all were listening to it.
Right. Like,
but like, it's just, it was seemed so out of place and it made me laugh out loud until Mama Bear came up and just freaking like stomped over.
Yep.
And opened the casket with, and first off, aren't caskets like locked? Like,
Not that one.
He was pretty much right there. Like,
I loved the juxtaposition between like singing at a funeral, everyone being like, what the, why?
Yeah.
And then Mama Tillerson opening the casket and being like, look at him.
Look at him.
Like, Jesus, this is intense, dude.
Oh, man. It was a good scene, though. It got the point across, let me tell you.
Yep. Later, Royal plays against Autumn in a poker game and wagers his West Pasture against her necklace. This is after, like, a long monologue of asking to see her feet because
blah, blah, blah.
Sometimes the devil's here. Are your feet the hooves? Yeah. Or regular feet. And then she shows her feet. So Imogen Poops is now on Wiki Feet for sure.
Oh, yeah. And on Tarantino's radar.
Yeah, for sure. Like, Royal wins, but it turns out that he cheated to do so. In fact, I was really excited that they like showed the whole poker hand.
Yeah.
Because when he puts down the full house, kings over aces, I think. Or it's just a
three kings and two aces. Yeah.
Yeah. You knew that he didn't have that third king when he put it down. Mm-hmm. So you were like, whoa. Like, what is this relatively non-shifty bastard doing? And it turns out he is a relatively shifty bastard.
He's a little shifty getting what he wants. Although, you know, to side with him a little bit, this whole situation making him a little crazy.
Yes.
I feel like normally it wouldn't go that way.
I assume, though, he knows what that rock is. I assume he knows that the same thing Wayne knows, that it's a goddamn magic rock. And yeah. because we haven't seen all the flashbacks yet, we don't know what they know, but eventually we will. Also, by the way, during the poker game, the bison just like put his head through a window, be like, hi, yeah. I'm just here to watch. Don't worry about me.
No one cared.
No one batted an eye.
I know.
So
was
weird.
Was it real?
All I know is that Autumn and Royal looked at it to be like, oh man, what's that happening? What's that doing here?
Mm-hmm. So strange. The bison weirds me out. I think I told you that when I was watching the episode.
Yeah.
The bison weirds me out a little bit.
I think the bison's supposed to be disconcerting. So. Yeah,
for sure. And that, or like when Autumn walked right up to it and pulled one of the arrows out, like totally nonchalantly.
Yeah.
And the bison just walks away.
She's a brave girl.
She is brave.
At night, Wayne receives a sign from the strange rock and drives out into the west pasture, finding the hole. It's crazy that he's only the second person to have found this hole at this point.
Yeah.
Wayne and Royal then get into a fight, and Wayne bludgeons Royal unconscious with the rock before driving off and screaming at the top of his lungs. Yeah. So now Royal is just unconscious next to the hole, and it is the dead of night. So will his family find him by the hole tomorrow? And will they start to understand what the hole is? There has to be something that moves this story forward. And I think one of the only things for that scenario to occur is more people finding out about the hole. But maybe they figure out some other way to do so.
Or he wakes up, but doesn't wake up all the way and accidentally rolls back into the hole.
That would be cool.
Royal rolls.
Oh, man. Holeville part two.
And then it's him, I guess, for all intents and purposes, volunteering to go into the hole on his own will, not someone throwing him in. Like I said, the hole could be sentient.
At this point, he has gone back and forth. He understands that perhaps he could make a choice about going in and then coming back out. And as long as he stays close to the hole and doesn't get shot by a sniper rifle, which is very possible, he can just go in and out and get more information. Although I would say it does stand to reason that if he goes through again, he just gets shot with a sniper rifle.
Oh my gosh. He just sticks his head through and he gets shot.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But yeah, a lot of questions. And, you know, to reinforce that, there were part of these two episodes that were a little slow, a little draggy. But all around, I think it's shaping up and it's progressing pretty well. Like, a lot is going on to keep my interest, which is nice. I like it.
We are halfway through the season. April 29th, two more episodes will come out. I do like the two episode structure.
Yeah, it moves it along.
Episode 5 is named The Soil. And episode 6 is named The Family.
Family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paul Walker.
Oh.
R.I.P.
Just why not say Vin Diesel?
It's been a long day without you, my friend.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you all about it. I'm not Charlie Puth, okay?
See you again.
Oh.
All right, see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.